This podcast is brought to you by LMU Munich.
Yeah, so first of all, thank you again, Martin and Philip, for being part of this process of collective thinking, which was MedCon. And thank you also for my Bolivian friends, colleagues, and traders who are to share their lives and ideas with me. My presentation, I work on trading in Bolivia and beyond. And so I come from economic anthropology, the anthropology of markets and trade. And this is my focus, and you will see I made it a bit smaller. The Pacific has to come later. Sorry, Philip. So I realized for 20 minutes it's just too much to be in the Andes and to be in the Pacific. And I also thought that concentrate on roads and stones and ritual practices fitted very well into the overall conference program and into this panel. So I will speak about roads, stones, and ritual practices on the Altiplano Plateau. And I will take you to Bolivia, to the Altiplano, which is the highest and most extensive of the Andean plateaus, 40,000 meters above sea level, the world's highest plateau after the Tibetan one. I would like to pay attention to the entanglement of diverse peoples, roads, and stones in this distinctive environment where lives are highly relational, including human beings, mountain spirits, and sacred places. So we have the Lake Titicaca, and you have some smaller lakes like Lake Popo, and you have some water, but normally, I mean, mostly it's a really dry area with a lot of stones. And you have the salt desert a little bit south of the Altiplano. So my aim is to open up an analytical space that allows me to take into account multiple agents who are all materially and symbolically engaged with roads in contemporary Bolivia. So they are traders and bus and truck drivers, state employees, ritual specialists, construction workers, and mounds of stone. I will start with an episode from my fieldwork, give more context on commercial and material environments in the Altiplano, and then on some aspects of the current Bolivian state, and finally propose conceptual ideas around coercion, as we have seen this morning, early on already. So look at this. This is the highway between El Alto and La Paz. La Paz is the seat of the government, and El Alto is a satellite city above the Valley of La Paz. And here, look at this meeting. The speaker of this meeting, who invited the people, are an employee of the Vice Ministry of Decolonization, which is a man over there. And there on the right of him, there's a ritual specialist, and there's a woman healer, and there are other clients standing around. They are all attending to this special kind of roadside shrine, which is a devil's walk. You can't see the devil's walk, it's just behind here. So what happened? This is a road constructed in the 1970s, and the popular narrative goes that a worker was faced with a bundle of snakes when rewetting the soil. So I have written out very well what you said this morning. So he didn't attend to the demand for a ritual payment in return for the intuition of the territory. So there was an accident, and because of this accident, people started to leave offerings and pure libations like cocoa leaves, alcohol, cigarettes, incense, and sugar sweets. They were leaving this at a big rock painted red and drawing a face of a devil. It became known as the devil of the highway. In 2016, this rock had to be removed to the other side of the road. So we see this here, the construction work, it moved here, where we are looking from, it moved to the other side of the road because of the enlargement of the highway. The case made it into mainstream media as the vice ministry was getting involved, and this, it became an opportunity, part of the agenda of the plurinational Bolivian state, to change the ambivalent nature of the rock, like a syncretic, Catholic, indigenous devil. And you see this ambiguity here, like the velas negras, and so associated with brujería, which is Catholic thing. So it became an opportunity to transform it in something that everybody would consider a proper indigenous, an Andean shrine, an apacheta, a hillock of stones, often crowned by an Andean cross called chacana. So this is an Andean cross. It's about letters and a centering, like four directions into the middle, like it's a spatial, really, something spatial and geometrics. Here, this is the same chacana, and you see this is another apacheta, also produced by cutting a hill into two by road construction. So, the apacheta is a possible materialization of a waka, so a sacred place. Like here, it's on the way to from La Paz to the down lower lands, Yungas. As we know from sources of the early colonial period, people have created small hills of stones by leaving them near outstanding phenomena, a high mountain, a river, a gorge, a cave, a laguna, or when changes in physical environment occur, in order to ask for protection. And I draw here on very interesting work of a lot of various scholars like Cecilia Odegaard, Pascal Absi, Dennis Arnold, Alison Spedding, and Marcelo Jimenez. So stones and soil are brought from where travelers come from and left where they pass by, so to reestablish communication as it might be disturbed because of their displacement. The importance of stones is related to the capacity to make things, plants, animals, and people's fortune grow. In analogy to small pieces of metal, stones are also iyas, all kinds of small objects and miniatures that have the potential to fertilize. So stones touched by lightning are especially powerful, and snakes are equaled with lightning. Just a small excursion to, it's not the topic here, but you have like, since its formative period in the Andes, about 2500 AC to 500 after Christ, yeah, like you have like archaeologists have found stone sculptures among others with snakes. So there's a continuity of snake iconography in pre-colonial art and stelas and pottery. And the snake is also in Aymara, in Quechua is Amaru, in Aymara it's Katari, it's also associated with the Inca dynasty and with indigenous resistance against colonialism. So these snakes and metals and stones are woven together as forces of a powerful altiplano subsoil that is potentially dangerous, but brings all the wealth and prosperity. And mounds of stones, apachetas, are especially powerful places. In fact, the term apacheta appears in the first Spanish Aymara dictionary from 1612. A small quote, passers-by are leaving and adoring mounds of stones for superstition. So until today, apachetas are where you greet the spirit of the place and pledge for a good voyage. Traders, bus and truck drivers in particular, and there are very numerous in Bolivia, relate to apachetas for protection and material wealth. Actually, an often heard meaning of apacheta today is this, where a road crosses in between of two hills. So apachetas are associated with road construction. And with the Asirius expressway projects, so we see a multiplication of apachetas precisely on the most frequented expressway towards the Peruvian and Chilean border, heavily populated by traders. Already existing apacheta become enlarged and globalized in a way as they change from being only locally important to be transnational significant as cross-border traders who deal with Chile and might import directly from China stop to attend these road shrines. There are also two recent snake episodes along the enlargement of these roads to the border areas. Again, with snakes, with serpents, with three-headed bundles of snake. And it's when it's called, it's the story goes, that's the moment when they cut through the flank of a hill. So with the current, and this is now, these are recent episodes, so with the current government, ritual specialists lobby to make these sites immediately an apacheta. So they counteract, in a way, the expert voice of archaeologists and anthropologists working for the Bolivian road administration. So for them, such episodes are no justification to redirect an expressway. As the anthropologist of at ABC told me during a conversation, quote, "We have to protect ritual sites, as the pre-Inca Aymaran and Inca Chulpas burial towers and entire necropolis. We have to categorize them. But it's not a responsibility of ABC to define a modern site of adoration." So the archaeologist said that the location, the archaeologist also, he mentioned that the location as the Devil's Stone at the El Alto La Paz Highway, quote, is not pre-colonial, but new. It's a political phenomenon. Political because different organizations, like the ritual specialists, claim oversight of these places. So I now come briefly to the Bolivian state and world construction. For the last 10 years, construction of expressways and the pavement enlargement of existing highways have become among the policy priorities of the state-driven patriotic agenda of President Evo Morales. His government has doubled the pace of road building. This is part of a wider movement towards a reconstituted Bolivian state, as the selling out of national resources to foreign powers has been the cause of popular protests that led to the former president's flight out of the country, new elections won by Morales and his Movement to Socialism Party in 2005. Key issues of the patriotic agenda are territorial sovereignty and resource nationalism. And the macroeconomic goal is to become an energy exporter. So large-scale, potentially interconnected material structures, many power plants and transportation infrastructure are key issues to reach this goal. And this is also part of the initiative for the integration of the regional infrastructure of South America, where all governments, independent to be state-centered or liberal, left, right, are participating. But this is only one side of what is happening. Expressways are also part of the state's and other building works of the state's social program to bring infrastructure to the countryside. So this agenda is framed in the trope of delivering. The president and the vice president tour the country on their relentless trips to open a bridge, to inaugurate a school, or to a football stadium, or to baptize an expressway. The permanent program Evo Bolivia Cambia, Evo Cumple, Bolivia Changes, Evo Does His Duty, or Keeps to His Promise, is an entire program to channel revenues of state enterprises directly to local communities in form of public works and other projects. Obras, projects, build work. So by delivering expressways and building works to rural, in rural communities and poor urban neighborhoods, the plurinational state materializes its claim to care for all the Bolivians, in particular for the indigenous, more than half of the population. So this, what might be called curational interventions, I come back to this later a little bit, receive a mostly positive response in the Altiplano. People in the Andes have been mobile for a long time, and the Altiplano plateau is mostly, it's not a frontier zone. Roads are part of a specific of the environment. Since pre-Inca times, large parts of the Altiplano have been interconnected through tracks running south-north, east and west, and all the way down to the Pacific coast. Inca rule was the extension of the imperial system of roads, the famous Capagnan, to the Altiplano. And of course, it brought the extraction of minerals. But and mining was cruelly extended by the Spanish colonizers, but this expropriation and the exploitation are directly associated with the minerals, with the resources for this, like national resource nationalism as a response to understand that historically. But is this exploitation is not associated with road building. Again, this is a broad argument, but I think this is a difference to what is happening in South American lowlands and in the Amazon, where you have big indigenous projects, again, road buildings through national parks. So people in the Andean live multi-local lives between city and countryside today as traders, as drivers, and they are generally keen to receive paved roads to their communities and neighborhoods. Of course, we have here the broad idea of enchantment, that the roads always like provoke anxieties and dreams that they can't fulfill. But again, people want to have it in the first place. So all over the Altiplano Plateau, fractions of villages are refounded on the side of the expressway. Rural indigenous communities form social control committees to make sure the construction company fulfills its contract in due time. This seems an echo of earlier obligatory road provisioning services. Instead of paying a fee as urban citizens, rural communities provided 4 days of collected work per year, developing a relationship of responsibility and, if you want, of care towards their roads. So I come to the conclusion. So paved roads in the Altiplano, before they can fulfill or fail to fulfill their official purpose to mobilize goods and people, they mobilize Andean spirits that become materialized as road apachetas. Or better to say, make sure that at some places where the ground is removed and asphalted and trade is expected to flourish ever more, people stay in relationship with the earth, with sacred places, stones, and other matter. We see a continuity of material practices despite of the expressway construction. And again, about people in movement, travelers, traders, but also migrants and pilgrims. But we also have to acknowledge changes, new agents, and how they transform the web of relations. As I mentioned, the official political economy narrative of a reconstituted state is only part of the situation. We also see what it could be described as a creating state, a state who interferes physically, who pretends to heal, who is more collaborative. And this state is delivering building works and roads to areas considered to be devoid of infrastructure. Delivering is material and performative. So you only can deliver something which is supposed to stay at last a bit, something physical. And it is performative because it is an act. The president is attending to communities all over the country. There's of course a very lively debate about Bolivian government, a critique what the government claims to be a post-neoliberal government, so critique of transnational companies, Chinese enterprises, and their deal with the government. But what is hardly critiqued is this physical presence and the materially attending to the Bolivian people. So with regards to roads in particular, ritual specialists aim to heal the Mother Earth, Pachamama, from the wounds that the reconstituted state is provoking. I don't know if you can follow me in this. So in an act of counterbalancing relentless construction work, you have ever more extended creational efforts of healers who got empowered by their nexus to the Vice Ministry of Decolonization and also to the Vice Ministry of Interculturality, another vice ministry. So world construction seems to be an opportunity to purify Andean practices from hegemonic Catholicism. I don't know if it's high modernity in Bolivia. It seems to be never high modernity in Bolivia, but it's kind of modern projects serve to decolonize. Again, decolonization is a lot more complex and it's a critical debate in Bolivia about it, but it's also one aspect of it is to take care for material environments. Croatian interventions in Bolivia are not like the Chinese one. They have been partial, fragmented. There's a notorious estado aparente, it's a term from Bolivian sociologist René Zavaleta, an apparent state, but incomplete, and expressways are avoided. So here, for example, this is clear. This is very near to the Chilean border. For every highway, you have like two or three like hidden paths and tracks where contraband trade is taking place. Roads fail to make border zones and trading walls legible in Bolivia. But again, in the Altiplano, and not in the lowlands, but in the Altiplano, roads, even by contraband traders or traders, are hardly openly contested. And healers, you could maybe say that healers ameliorate by their curational efforts these interventions, as do travelers building apachetas. Thank you.
Two of you, both of your presentations. And I was